Please stand for the reading of God's Word. Our scripture today is taken from 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 26. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead, according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we die with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, changing them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor and sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. You may be seated.
Heavenly Father, we just ask for the next 15, 20 minutes that you be with us by your Spirit, that you would open our ears and our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be strong in the grace and character and integrity. Be strong in grace, character, and integrity. Powerful words. Mark, if you could turn me down just a little bit, it's coming at me here. We finished last week with letting you know that Paul was sending his last letter that he was going to write to Timothy, to anybody for that matter. And in his last days from prison, from a dungeon actually, he is unloading all that he needs to unload to this young pastor. He is taking his wisdom, his knowledge, and even his mantle to some degree, and pouring it into this young man. And he begins this chapter with, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strong in the grace that is Christ Jesus. Most of us, when we hear the term grace, we think of a merited favor. It's something we've learned all the way through school and all the way through youth group and as we were growing up. But that word grace, that's a big deal. For him to start out with this, be strong in the grace, he is talking to a young man that is somewhat timid, a little bit shy, and maybe young, and has to deal with a church in Ephesus, which is about as evil a place as there was in that day. They worship Diana, a goddess. Highly intellectual people, far from the truth of God, and he is going to be a pastor, a young pastor, in this place. And Paul's words are first, be strong in the grace. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Some of you come from a place where you have very little faith in your abilities. I'm speaking really about where I came from, actually. But we have so much doubt about what we can and can't do for Christ. And we operate in a spirit of fear, and we all know that fear is a liar, right? But we operate from that place, and it hinders us from going and accomplishing the things that God has called us to accomplish. And I don't think Timothy is any different. I believe he was probably holding back from all that he could be. And now Paul, the apostle, who's willing to lay his life down for Christ, is speaking to him, and he says, be strong in the grace. He could have said, don't be strong in your fear. Don't be strong in your doubt. Don't be strong in your feeble attempts that you believe is all you have to offer. He says, no, be strong in the grace. What does that mean? There is unmerited favor. There's favor we get from God that we don't deserve when we are His. But there is so much more to that favor that leads us to salvation. There's so much more. For a guy like Timothy, he equips him for a great purpose. And Timothy has to get that. And Paul is going to pour this into him. So the first thing we have to understand, this is the first point, is be strong in the grace that God has given you. What grace has God poured into you to help you be effective in doing the things He's called you to do, to help you be effective in living the life that He has called you to live? Oh, I can't do that. I can never give that up. I can't do that. That seems to be the mantra of the church. I can't do this. That's too much for me. Somebody else has to step up and do that. Oh, I'm far too old to do that. No. Paul is going to he's going to operate in grace of the Lord until his head goes rolling off the platform. There's no quit. It's all strength. It's all, we continue on. We don't stop. He has given us the strength and the wherewithal, the tools. He equips us to go and do the things He's called us to do. And it's not over till He says it's over. It's usually when we're on the great by and by. Or the trumpet blast, which we haven't heard yet. And He's pouring this into Timothy. Timothy, you walk in a confidence that's different. And it's not a confidence that's stirred up by who you are. It's a confidence that's stirred up by who you are in me. Is what God says. That's grace. There is no way I should be up here talking to you all. I'm just telling you. In my nature, in my flesh, in the core of who I am prior to Christ, I should not be anywhere near this altar. Unless I'm face down saying, God, forgive me. By the way, I still do that. It's what He does to us. And here's the sin that I wrestle with myself. Is when I believe that His grace is not sufficient for me. When I believe that I am not worthy to be here, that's sin. Because I'm not trusting in His promises. I'm not trusting in the things that He said. I'm not trusting in the gifts that He's given me. And the same is true for you. You're not trusting in what He's given you to do. Grace. When I first started speaking, this is in the late 80s, Pastor Jerry would have me come up and speak about the youth. And I was about as ill-equipped as a person could be. I learned at that point in time that I wasn't qualified to do a devotional. I learned that I didn't even have the ability to truly pray in front of a group of people more than three. Yet he began to believe in me, and he was going to set me on a path where he encouraged me. But when I did get up here, there must have been something about my personality that hadn't been conformed to the pattern of God. God's Word. And Pastor Jim would say, Mike, remember, grace goes a long way. What does that mean? I'm going to be more saved? I'm going to have more unmerited favor? Well, yeah, it does. Not more saved, but more unmerited favor. Yeah, I'm going to have unmerited favor. And then I had an elder that came up to me and says, remember, Mike, the truth in love. Most of you aren't here for that, thank goodness. I gave truth, but I don't know how much love there was. I think it was laced with a lot of judgment, to be honest with you. But God had grace in me. And he equipped me, and I began to grow in it. And I'd be getting nurtured by Pastor Jerry. Patiently with me. He was so patient with me. John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we who beheld his glory, the glory is the one and only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I was learning that along with the truth that I knew needed to present it, there needed to be grace that went with it. What is that grace? The grace is favor, yes. But it needs to be in love. The truth in love. Thank you, Jesus is right, man. The truth in love. Can you give the truth in love? For a long time, I gave the truth in judgment. Forgive me, God. He has. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. There's people that have knowledge, and there's people that even have truth. And some of those people are over in Washington, D.C., looking to throw rocks, spears, and fight and throw slurs at people in the name of truth. There's no love, and there's no grace. And that doesn't fly. So Paul's telling Timothy, no, you're going to operate and be strong in the grace. And the strong in the grace is the faith that God is going to give me what I need to give out to accomplish his purpose. What did it mean when Paul said, I must decrease and he must increase? It means he's going to allow God to do what he's going to do through him, and he's going to have a lesser part of it. He's going to walk by faith, and God says, come out of him. That's what we're called to. That's what Timothy is called to. Love and grace. Here's what you need to know, along with love and grace. 1 John 5:13 says, that you may know that you have eternal life. It begins with our understanding of who we are and that we have eternal life. It is a sin to not believe that God did what he did and said he didn't do it for me. It's a lack of faith. No, we walk in that faith. We walk in that and say, okay, yeah, I've done wicked things. But by the grace of God, I believe what he said. And I operate in what he said, not what I feel. I am standing up here before you, even though I didn't feel like I was qualified or able. It's not about me. It's about him and what he's going to do through me, through you, and every one of us. And I know that I made mistakes, and I've sinned, and I've done some cruddy things. Even yesterday, but it could be, if I thought it through. But I know he is faithful to administer grace as I open up and give him my junk. Same is true for you. But know that you know that you know that you are his child. And you will be with him because he said nothing will snatch you out of his hand. Why? Because of grace. Grace, to me, is almost a mystery because it's so profound and so deep and so good. Thank you, Jesus. He equips us, he empowers us to extend grace to others. Do I extend grace to others? Do you extend grace to other people? Do you operate out of a urgency of a moment that says, I got to get my stuff done? I'm going to have to pass over grace for now because I need to get to the point. I've done that. Forgive me, God. I don't want to do that. No, I need to be operating in grace. All the time. And I can only do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit in me that allows grace to be inactivated. Inactivated, that's a new word. Activated. I'm sorry. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 2 says, and the things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. You know who faithful men are? People people that know that they are saved by the grace of God and equipped by the grace of God to do the things of God for the people of God. That's what grace is. And I believe that it's the majority of the people in this room that have something that can take them to the place where they share the gospel, which is really the love of God, to other people. You have it within you because the grace of God is already in you if you are His. If you are not His, the grace of God is being poured out that you would receive Him. Do not depart from Him. Depart from the old life. In Jesus' name. Second point. Be strong in character. This is what Paul is pouring into Timothy. Be strong in character. And what he does is he goes on to give three examples of good character. And he uses three professions, if you will. He uses that of a soldier. And he uses that of an athlete. And that of a farmer. And the qualities that they have that define what character is. He says, be strong in these things. It says 2:3, therefore you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So what does a soldier do? He endures hardship. Grace is still extended, and it is sufficient for us, but we will go through hardship. He walks away from those things that entangle him. That's what a soldier does. In fact, he gives up his old life, and now he becomes the life of the authority that he is now under, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines. That's on a physical level. They have a new one, the space thing. Anybody hear that on the news? The Space Force. Wow. How creative are we as people? In Joshua 5:14, we're told that it is Christ who enlisted us. He is the commander of the army of the Lord. Basically, that's what he, you don't have to put that up, but that's what he's saying. He is the commander of the Lord. He enlisted me. And I need to know that. And he's going to be the pouring of character into me that I need. What does a soldier do? He honors the leadership. He doesn't get involved in secular or worldly things or concerns. The soldier leaves those things behind. They're gone. They're over. First thing they do is they cut his hair. Then they say, get rid of all your clothes. Here, wear these. And you put on their clothes. Oh, privacy? That's out the window. You see that silver toilet? There's 8 of them across there. That's what you're going to use. Well, where are the walls and the partition? Oh, no, no. You don't worry about those. You're giving up everything about who you were as a civilian, who you were in the secular world. And what are you doing? You're operating now under a new thing. You're operating under a new commander. That's what a soldier does. And a soldier is mission-focused. Not worldly focused. They're focused on the mission. They're focused on the orders. And what Paul is saying to Timothy is that's the character that you have to develop in you. Your commander-in-chief is Jesus Christ. And he has given us some orders. And you walk by those orders. And don't worry, he's going to equip you by grace to be able to accomplish what he sets you out to do. I thank you for that, Jesus. Character of an athlete. And 2:5 says, and also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. What does an athlete do? He operates by the rules. I remember Ben Johnson in the 88 Olympics, I think it was. Man, watching him go down the track, it was like he was running on air. He was a physical specimen, like what you saw earlier, flying on the track, setting all kinds of world records, but it was to no avail. Why? Because he didn't do it by the rules. But when we're working for Christ, and we're taking on the character that he wants us to take on, we operate by the rules. What rules? This is really tricky. Actually, God's rules first, but also the rules by which we live. So when we pray for the federal government, state government, and the local government, we pray that because we have to live under those rules and under that authority, and we have to respond rightly to it. Rebelling against authority is not of God's character. Paying your taxes, whether you like it or not, is within the character of God. Obeying the law is within the character of God because he told us to, even though it's under the authority of our government. And the athlete that he uses competes according to the rules. What else does the athlete do? He disciplines himself. He trains and prepares for what's ahead. Athlete also competes to win the prize. God, I feel good about this. I do some of these things. I have to do it without cheating, because that's not by the rules. I played Jordan in tennis the other day, and I was down two sets of love, and I couldn't hit the ball in no matter what, and he starts humoring me like this, hitting it in like this. I was so angry, but then I got it. It all came back. I started hitting shots. I had him running all over the place, and I beat him in the third set. Came from behind to beat him. Now we go into the fourth set. We only won three sets. He says, I want to finish you off good. He's getting pretty smart. We're in the fourth set. I'm up three games to love. Jordan's not here, so I can really embellish this. But basically, he gets a groin pull, and he starts doing this stuff. Well, he didn't want me to beat him. So we compete. Just know that Jesus acted according to the law or the rules. He was true to all of them. Therefore, his victory is complete. If he would have broken any of the rules or any of the laws, what he did would have become less because he's now not a lamb without spot or wrinkle. He operated by the rules. Paul is pouring this character into Timothy. Last one is of a farmer. It says, a hardworking farmer must first partake of the crops. First thing is, know that farmers are hardworking. Are we hardworking? He prepares the soil, which is the heart. He prepares the soil for the seed, which is the word. I'm translating really quickly from the natural to the spiritual. He plants the seed, which is the word of God. He pulls out the weeds, which is sin. He waters it with the word of God. But then it says he must partake of the word as a teacher first. In other words, if I'm going to do all those things, we have a service here where the worship prepares the heart to receive the word of God. And then they prepare in their practice and in their worship. And then I have to prepare in the word, but I have to get the word. And by the way, when I have to get it, and Jerry will speak this really quickly, we have to get it. Because God's talking to us at that time. What was it? My brother told me, we study to show thyself approved. Study to show yourself approved. God's doing a work in us as we prepare and study his word. Because we're the first partakers of it. Then we give it. Paul is telling us to Timothy, this is what you pour into you. This is about your character. And this is what he's trying to establish in you. And then he moves to the next part. And he says a couple really powerful statements. He says, if we endure, in verse 12, he says, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. And I'm going to come back to that statement I made earlier. But in the next verse it says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. I want to make this point really quick because it's in there. And Timothy is to know this because Paul is giving it to him. He says, you're going to die to yourself. And if you remain faithful in that, God is going to remain faithful to you. If you step out of that covering of grace, and you enter into the covering of the world, and you deny him, he says he is going to deny you before the Father. If you stay in, he is going to be with you in it. If you step out, he is going to deny you before the Father. What's happening there? God is true to himself. He does not deny himself. He does not deny his word. He sticks to his word in judgment. He sticks to his word in grace. Know this, Timothy. Stick with him because he is going to stick and he's not going to deny the truth of who he is. If he denied who he is, he's not God. My elder pastor, Elder Mike Waldrop taught me that very powerfully. In Matthew 10:32, it says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him also I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not take salvation lightly. Do not be a person in the world, because that's what the world is doing, saying, well, I'm a good person. How would a loving God let anything bad happen to me? Because he has to be true to himself. He has to be true to his word. He will not deny his word. He is faithful to his word. And he will hold to it in judgment and in grace. When he says that nothing will snatch you out of his hands, when he says that your sins have been wiped away, when he says those things, we have to hold on to that because he holds to it because he has to. Because that's what God does. We start doubting that, we start doubting him. We just made him less. To make God less than who he is, in my eye, is a sin, and it needs to be confessed. We need to give that sin over to him and say, God, I believe. Forgive me for not believing that you are all who you say you are, and that you don't, you know, forgive me for not believing you do all that you say you do. In Jesus' name. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I never knew you. I never knew you. Because those who know him know that what he says is true. If you don't know what he says is true, and you've made it something else, you don't know him. Powerful words. And by the way, this is speaking with love and grace, because I'm giving you the truth that you are going to pour into some other person, because God's called you to pour that kind of truth into other people, and do it with love. And the fact that we do it is loving. Thank you, Jesus. Last point. It says, be strong in integrity. Integrity is basically the fruit of character. Our character is the essence of who we are. Integrity are the actions that follow from the fruit or from the person that we are, the essence of who we are. And Paul is telling Timothy, be strong in this. Verse 14 says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. What's the integrity part? Don't strive. Don't engage in stupid quarrels with people. Don't get into that. That's not what he is about. That causes division. We speak the truth, and we act with grace and mercy, and we don't engage arguments. We don't engage words that end in no profit. Keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing that is the main thing is the Word of God. That's the main thing. The love of God. That's the main thing. We're living in the age of grace, the church age. That's the main thing. Christ died for you and me. He resurrected. That's the main thing. Don't get caught up in crazy things. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the call. And when I study, when the worship team practices, when people who lead Bible studies in different groups, when they spend time in studying the word of God, it shows themselves approved. You're doing what God has called you to do for the purposes he's now going to put you into, for the purposes he has in store for you, which is going to be to the glory of God and for the love of man, salvation of man. Okay, I see a couple yawning. I'm a little quicker here. It says, and then it comes back again to what not to do. It says, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Do not talk nonsense with people. When you're sharing the gospel with people, you're sharing the love of Christ, you're sharing the way out of condemnation, and they start talking ignorant, do not engage that. Close with love and grace and simply walk away unless they're ready to hear some truth. It takes willpower to do that. It takes God power to do that. You can't do it if you're in the flesh. You're going to want to fight back. That's how we're wired. No. I've been rewired. I'm going to walk away from that. They're going to call you a coward. so be it. Coward for Christ? I'm good with that. In fact, I've been such a coward, I've been so weak, and I've just been so diminished that now he can do something with me. What does he want me to do? Walk away sometimes. Do not engage the nonsense. However, there's a time when you have to speak to the nonsense, and the nonsense has to leave. Because they're not here for the love of God to grow in Christ. They're here to cause division, and the wolf must go. In Jesus' name. Because why? Because their message, it says here in verse 17, it says, and their message will spread like cancer. That's a hard word. The message of nonsense spreads like cancer. Why? Because we're dealing with sheep. Sheep follow things. And who does the cancer spread to? Those who have strayed concerning the truth. Saying, and here's what happened in this particular case. Saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. That's nonsense. The resurrection is not already past. Remember last week? I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning. All right. That hasn't happened yet. The trumpet blast hasn't gone off yet. The dead in Christ have not met the Lord in the air with us. Will we meet them in the air? That hasn't happened yet. And to say it has is defeating and brings about hopelessness to the sheep. To those who are just getting by grace. They're not really growing in a faith. That stuff is cancer. It's dangerous. And we protect those that God has called us to. I'm going to skip down to verse 23. Pastor James, would you come forward? It says, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. They generate strife. Do not get into arguments. I used to think that was stimulating, iron sharpening iron. It is if people are seeking the truth. It is not if there's personal agendas attached to it. And Paul's telling Timothy, do not engage in this because you've got people that worship gods that are not God. Spirits that are not of the Holy Spirit. And they're into these things, and they're going to argue, to discredit you, to defame you, to do all these things. Do not go to that place. Walk away. Give them over to God to do what God will do, because we can trust Him to do what's right. In Jesus' name. But here's the but. We don't leave angry. We don't leave ranting. That's not how we're supposed to do it. He says, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, must be patient. Three integrity issues, three character issues that I've had to work on in my whole life. And God has put me in the places where I've had to work on them, and I couldn't escape it. It's been good for me. It says, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God, perhaps, will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. And that they may come to their senses. These people are off. And that they may escape the snare of the devil. So you teach them in gentleness and in patience. Matter of fact, by the word of God, led by the Spirit of God, that it comes across right. Remove yourself from it. And you speak the life to them. And if they receive it, salvation will come. They will escape the snare of the devil. And Paul is telling Timothy, these have to be who you are. Walk in grace, because that's my power. That's my Holy Spirit operating through you the right way. Be of good character. Develop your character. And the third point is act it out. Act out your character, which is integrity. In Jesus' name. You can just close your eyes and bow your heads. My God is awesome.